I don't know if we need to introduce them or not. Dan, this is Maria. And got to give her a hard time. Amen. God bless them. Appreciate their ministry. We've got to see some of the work that they did 2 years ago when we took our trip. And I love that Christmas photo. Yes, I have a Christmas photo of your building in the snow. I don't know who took that picture, but I love that picture. So anyway, we're just going to let you take over.
I let him go.
Okay, Chapel, it's good to be with you this morning. And, you know, we come home from Romania, and our tradition has been the first thing we do when we come up from Pittsburgh, we circle around Chapel. And this year we noticed that you have cameras now, so it's like, oh, they're probably wondering who this car is circling around the building. But yeah, as long as I can remember, the first thing I do is come around here, because this building changed my life, actually. 37 years ago, I was thinking, you know, if you walk down the hall here and to the right, that small room right there is where I got saved and my life has been changed. And actually, as we were worshiping, I think actually Barnabas Ministry started right there in that room. And you know, it's a really special place for us. And I have the opportunity, we have half of our family here. You know, there's another five of us still in Romania. But I want to introduce, Maria, come up here. Maria doesn't like to talk. And unless she's alone with you, then she loves to talk. So, but yeah, she's actually the powerhouse behind us in Romania. I mean, I do everything behind the scene, but she's the face of Barnabas Ministries in Romania. She's the one that's touching the children. She's the one that's going into the homes. And if you've ever had the opportunity to come to Romania and to see her at work, she really has a gift with the poor families, with the children. But yeah, you want to say something?
I'm always so happy to be here. To me, America represents you guys, honestly, church and friends in here. I like, of course, America. I like stores. I like Walmart. But I like being in the church and meeting with all of you and see your faces. And thank you for being behind us. And God bless you all.
Ashley, Jacqueline, Annabelle, Dennis. So, this is... Okay. Yeah, I have a bad habit with microphones. Years ago, I used to sing, and I had a microphone that was here, so I have a bad habit with them. But anyway, this is our oldest daughter, Ashley, and she's going to be getting married to Dennis, her fiancé. And then there's Jacqueline, our second oldest daughter, and Annabelle. And we have five other children at home in Romania. We have Alexandra, which is 21 years old, Adrian, which will be 20 in the next couple weeks, and then Anna, which is 18, Claudio, 17, and Ioana, 15. And so our youngest is now 15. We really don't have children anymore. But I'm going to turn over to Ashley and let them explain what Barnabas Ministries is.
Actually, it's going to be me. So it's so happy to be, we're so happy to be here this morning. It's always a joy to come back here. You guys are family to us. Even though we're in Romania, when we remember us as kids, we remember Chapel on the Hill as being like our family. So for you, those of you who do not know, Romania is located in Eastern Europe, and we live in the city of Sebeș, a really small city actually. And over there, Barnabas is dedicated to provide and to reach out to people in the rural area of Romania. So Barnabas is separated into five different groups: Barnabas Aid, Barnabas Youth and Kids, Barnabas Camps, and then Discipleship. So that's how we reach out to the community over there. And I'm sure, and we had the privilege throughout the years to talk more in detail about all of those, so we're not going to go in detail with those. But if anybody's interested, we're happy to announce we're going to have our annual banquet on the 27th of this month. So tickets are still available if anybody wants to hear more about the history and the vision of Barnabas Ministries. So today we're going to just highlight some points and some some areas that we really saw God work this year. And the first one is going into schools. That's been like a really nice thing we saw this year, that schools have been opened in Romania. We are very privileged to have the openness and the opportunity to literally enter schools and very freely preach the gospel. And this year we had the opportunity to go into actually new schools, and the teachers are really open. We see the kids are really open. So that's just been a joy for us to see. And we want to say also thank you to anybody that participated in the toy drive. I know lots of times you give a toy and you think it's not going to make a difference, but actually those toys not only bring joy to the kids, but actually open the door for us to go into kindergartens and just preach the gospel. We've seen not only children's lives being changed, but actually teachers. We have lots of teachers, parents of the kids that attend our weekly kids' outreach, that they have. So usually we go and we stay probably like an hour at the kindergarten or school. So actually they give us like a big portion of their kindergarten day towards us. We go and sing songs and preach the gospel. So that's, teachers have seen that. They've seen like what a good impact that does over the kids. And they actually started to take like signs and songs, and they do that throughout the week, even when we're not there. So that's been really encouraging to us. We do not know exactly. We pray that God will keep that door open for as long as possible. But we've seen that it's important to invest in kids, but also invest in the teachers for them to take over, even when we're not able to be there.
Yeah. So hello, my name is Annabelle, and I'm so happy to be here. I'm going to read because so you guys understand me. So I want to share about some families we've recently connected with. We discovered a new region of very needy families that's surprisingly really close to us. When we first visited, it reminded me a lot of the stories my dad told me about how it used to be after communism. People were surrounding the car with supplies, desperately trying to receive anything they could. The conditions were heartbreaking, and we even decided not to return there without having someone with us for safety. Our goal is to continue working with this community, and we're believing that in a few months or within a year, we would be able to safely hold children outreaches right there on the streets. We are pressing in and already seeing breakthroughs as we take the time to go house to house and visit them. On our last visit, we gave the children that go to school supplies, and teenagers and children were staying in line just to receive two simple notebooks. What amazed me most was that we were able to pray with each of the children, something that back in November seemed impossible. Already, we can see how God is softening hearts and opening doors for the gospel to reach and transform this community. We're so expecting to see more breakthroughs in this community and see what doors God will open in this next coming year.
My name is Ashley, and I'm so happy as well to be here. And I just want to share a bit about what God's been doing among the youth. And I think maybe you're seeing this. We're seeing this actually all around the world. Like, God is raising up the young generation. Like, we see the young generation has its struggles, but they also have a fire, and we're seeing that start to rise. And we had this camp. We had 35 children. That's all the room we had. And surprisingly enough, we had a whole bunch of kids that had never been to camp sign up. They were the first to sign up. And out of the 35 kids, only 3 of them, to our knowledge, participate or go to church or have parents that have a relationship with God. So we were thinking, and most of them were like young boys, 13, 14-year-old boys. And to be honest, I was a little intimidated because like they were like, I'm too cool for you, kind of. You know how teenagers are sometimes. And it was just so amazing. The first night during worship, I was thinking, okay, how can we reach them, like get to their level? Should we do just one worship song? Should we like dim down on the preaching? What should we do? And I just felt God during worship say, press on, keep the standard. And instantly there was a shift. Like kids that couldn't stay and like pay attention to you five minutes, they were listening to preachings that went on for 40 minutes because we could. So we just saw such a shift in those youth. And there was another, or one of our last youth meetings, we just simply announced, as we usually do, oh, we have a youth meeting. And we had 60 teenagers show up, and I do not know from where. And they were all from our area. They are kids that we've worked with since they're young, but they just showed up. So we're seeing that God is moving. There is a shift, and maybe you feel it here as well. But really, with this young generation, we just want to press through. And this coming year, we have a lot of 12 and 13-year-olds that, you know, they're excited. A lot of us are, a lot of them have been telling us, like, really honestly, like, you know, I want to grow up and also, like, help at camps and do this and do that. So we see that they have a heart. They want to serve. So this next coming year, what we're wanting to do is really disciple them, you know, starting at the age of 11, starting at the age of 12, whatever age they're wanting to serve, we're wanting to find a place for them. So it's so important, discipleship, and I think that's going to be a big part of what Barnabas is going to continue to do, disciple the young generation, because they need discipleship. And yeah, I would also, as my fiance here, Dennis, he also, you know, because of discipleship, his life was transformed. So I'd like to pass on the mic to him and for him to share his amazing story. And yeah, he actually does all of our videos. So God has transformed him and is using him to bless the next generation.
Hello, thank you for having me. As you may know, I will marry this beautiful girl in a few weeks here, so I'm excited for that. For those of you who don't know, my name is Dennis. I'm from Romania. I'm Romanian. Fun fact about me, this is the first time I'm in America, so yeah, it's third day here. it's nice in here. I like, you have big cars, you have wide roads. Europe is small, like, really small. but yeah, one thing that I noticed was the people here are so nice. They're smiling. You guys are smiling every time I see you, every time I look at you. So that, I like that thing about you guys. Romanians are a bit, you know, shy, coming from communism. So yeah. I'll tell you my story. So I grew up as a Christian in Romania. I had a normal family. I have a normal family, normal Christians. But I didn't took it seriously. Like, I knew God. I mean, I knew about God, but I didn't knew God, you know. I ended up in all sorts of stuff in high school. But then one day, between classes, there was this girl that came at me, and because we were classmates. She told me to come to one of their youth meetings that they were having at home. So I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So yeah, I went there and I saw the music. It was something different for me. But one thing that I noticed there was the fellowship they had. Like, they had games and everything, and that thing was new for me. I also like that they were joking between themselves, you know, and I like the fellowship itself. I had that missing in my life. I never experienced something like that. So that made me come a second time, and I came in a third time, and before I knew, I was, you know, implicated in the whole event, you know, the whole youth meeting. I started playing the guitar, and yeah, and being more into the youth, so to say. So one thing that was important for me wasn't like a one day, you know, I didn't know God, and then I was a Christian. It was like a long process. So that, you know, it's like that for most of the youth in Romania, I would say. It's not over the night. But what has been important for me, it was the energy or the time that was given to me by Dan as well, because he was like he was like a mentor for me, yeah, and that helped me a lot. So day by day, I knew God even more and more, and now I'm here, and I'm marrying his girl, so that's crazy. But yeah, that wasn't the plan. The plan was that God brought me into his family, and now I'm saved because of the steadfastness of their family and of their ministry, and that blessed me tremendously. So yeah, I would like to thank you everyone for investing into the ministry, and consequently investing into me. So I would like to thank you for that deeply.
Yeah, so that was a little bit about Barnabas, and you know, I just actually want to, like, you know, really, like, thank you, Mommy and Daddy. You guys are leaders of Barnabas, and you guys are doing an amazing job. Like, we wouldn't be here without what you do and the work you guys. I've seen this year, you know, they're the type of leaders, like, they don't just speak in front. They're the ones that they're cleaning toilets. If, like, young people who said they'd clean toilets don't show up, they're the ones who, like, pick up the shovel when no one else does. So, yeah, that's a little bit about Barnabas. Again, we have the banquet coming up where we're going to speak more. But, yeah, I'd like to invite my dad to come and continue on. Yeah.
Good. Good. So it's good to hear those testimonies. I've not really heard Dennis's testimony, but yeah, so it's good. But this whole summer, I have been kind of amazed by God. You know, everything that we have been doing, it seems like maybe I'm getting older, but I'm getting a little bit tired as we do it. And, you know, God has blessed us with a camp, but this camp has a lot of work to be done to it, and I get to do a lot of that work. And I'm blessed to be able to do that because I get to spend a lot of time alone in prayer, praying. But, you know, we end up having to do all the yard work, taking care of everything, then boom, we have a camp, and then we have a camp, and camp. And so, you know, I kind of go into those camps tired, having prepared everything, and this year especially tired, but every single camp I've thinking, God, can you do something with this group? Whenever the first day starts, can you do something with this group? Or are you going to do something like you did last year? And, you know, every single camp that we have had this year, I've been blown away how God has moved by the end of the week, and he's moved different in every single group. And, you know, I look at people and I think, God, can you really do something in that person's life? And, you know, it's almost like God says, wait and see. Just watch. I'm going to show you. And so I've been really amazed this year, especially how God has been moving. And he's using our youth. You know, actually, me and Maria are doing less and less, and they're doing more and more. And so, you know, we're blessed with an incredible group of young people around us. And, you know, the amazing thing about Barnabas Ministries is we have no paid workers. There's me and Maria and all of our volunteers around us. You know, so God is good. And, you know, I pray that, you know, God will continue to send us young people. Actually, Dennis and Ashley are getting married, and we're going to want them to go away and, you know, put that time into their marriage so that they have a strong marriage. But, you know, I believe that as they go away, God's going to send others to replace them. And so I want to share the word with you all this morning. And, you know, God is doing amazing things around the world. But I think, you know, actually we have a banquet coming up in 2 weeks. If you want to hear more about what Barnabas is doing, you're welcome to come to that banquet. But I believe Sunday morning is the time to share the word. And I believe that God has a word for each one of you. And I believe that God wants to minister to many of you here this morning. And, you know, I don't know about you, but this week has been kind of a struggle for me. There's been a lot of things that have happened, you know, in America with the assassination of Charlie Kirk and also the stabbing of the Ukrainian lady in North Carolina. And, you know, it's like, God, what are you doing? And I believe God is doing something. I mean, God is doing something, not just in America. God is doing something in the world. And, you know, and I believe that God is starting, especially the youth, God is starting to move among the youth, and there's going to be a revival like we've never seen before. And, you know, I look forward to that day. And I believe that many of you have been looking forward to that day. But, you know, there's one thing that God has been speaking to me. You know, If the enemy can't defeat you, he will discourage you. And if he can't get you to be discouraged to not do something, he will overwork you. And there's one thing. We need to be careful as Christians to guard our hearts. You know, and I mean, we are in a battle. We can see there's an enemy around us, an evil enemy. And we need to guard our hearts and not allow the enemy to penetrate and wound us in our hearts. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And, you know, in Psalms 86:11, the psalm says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." And I think that's the NIV. New King James says, "Give me a unified heart." You know, but I think that, you know, if you really want the strength of God working in your life, you need to have an undivided heart. And I think, you know, if you're like me, there's so many things that pull at your heart daily. And, you know, even if you're not thinking about yourself, if you have children and somebody attacked those children, well, wait and see. And your heart's going to become undivided pretty soon. And but God wants us to protect our hearts. And, you know, so, and there's a story in Daniel chapter 1-4, and it's about King Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm sure that you've all heard stories about that. But he was a king. Actually, if you read chapters 1-4, obviously God had a plan for this king because he spoke to him through two very vivid, clear dreams. But yet, you know, he recognized, and he gave also Daniel as the interpreter of those dreams. But he, you know, he recognized that the God of Daniel was the true God, but only to turn around and build a golden statue that he wanted everybody to bow down to in the form of him. You know, so he had an undivided heart. You know, he knew what God was wanting to ask of him, but yet, because of things in his heart, it was undivided. And, you know, he would say, "Yes, I need to serve God," but then he would lift himself up in pride. And I think, you know, all of us, in our hearts, we struggle with that, you know. But God wants us to have our hearts completely devoted to him, undivided. You know, that means giving our lives 100% to him. You know, saying, "God, what is your will for my life? Not my will be done, but your will be done." And, you know, that's not an easy thing for us to do. You know, that's, you know, I like to control things around me. I like knowing where my kids are. I sleep the best whenever my children are in my home in their beds. And they sometimes tell me, I get up in the morning and I go to their beds and I make sure and I just look at them and they wake up and they say, "That's weird." You know, "Dad, quit looking at me." You know, but, you know, that's the way I am. And I'm sure many of you are the same way. You know, you like to control the surroundings around you. And you know, God's asking us to trust him with things. You know, whenever our children are attacked by others, we need to just trust God to take care of that. You know, whenever our children are going to college and we're not sure exactly how they're going to carry their Christian faith along with them, we need to trust God. We need to pray and trust God. And you know, we have 8 children, and somehow or another in the last few years, all of them have left home except 3. We have 3 children at home permanently, and the others come and go. And, you know, it takes a lot of faith to believe that God's going to take care of each one of those kids as they go out in their own direction. And, you know, we had a time where we had kids in 3 different countries, you know, but God is faithful. You know, as you pray, you look back, God is faithful, and, you know, it encourages you for the next step. But anyway, there's 3 things that... 5 points that I'd like to talk to you about the heart and why God's calling us to have a wholehearted devotion to him. But the first thing is the danger of having a divided heart. And, you know, James 1:8, it says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." And, you know, if you're saying you're a Christian, but yet your heart is not 100% given over to God, you know, it can appear to others that you're unstable. You know, you say one thing in the church, you do another thing outside the church. And, you know, God wants us to have a heart that's 100% for him, inside the church and outside the church. That way people outside that are looking in, they can't say, well, that person's different outside than inside. And you come to church and worship with passion, and then the next day you go to work and you're distracted by the cares of the world. God wants us to be worshiping with passion within the church. He wants us to be worshiping with passion in our homes, among our family members. And, we need to be on fire in the church. We need to be on fire in our jobs. We are his representatives wherever we go. And, in our community, I said Maria is the face of Barnabas Ministries. I do a lot of the office work. I do a lot of the stuff inside. And, I sometimes wander downtown. Maria's downtown 10 times a day. She's definitely the face of Barnabas Ministries. But, people are studying our lives. Even though I don't get out very often, people are watching me. Whenever they come into my courtyard, they're watching me. They're watching my life. They're watching how I'm reacting if I am out in town. They're watching Maria. And, it's amazing how we see the kids come to camps, and then we see the parents return, and, especially this year. Parents have come with tears in their eyes saying, we never prayed before around the dinner table. But whenever our child came home from school, he asked, why don't we do this? So we started to do it. Here in small things, we're living our faith in front of others because we're 100% for God, inside the church, outside the church, and regardless of whether we're around Christians or non-Christians. It's easy to pray when you're with a group of Christians. But what about if you're with a group of family members that don't believe? Are you courageous enough to say, let's pray before we eat? That could make a big difference to those family members. So there's a danger in having a divided heart, doing one thing within the Christian community, one thing outside the Christian community. So in Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you're serving God 100% completely, or you're not being a full gospel witness to those around you. And, God didn't call you to be a witness to the Christians around you. God has called you to be the Christian, to be a witness to those non-Christians that are around you. And it's a little bit harder. They judge you by a little bit harsher standard, But, if you're faithful, you can have the joy of leading them to the Lord. You can have the joy of looking back and saying, hey, I remember whenever I prayed with that brother of mine, or I can remember whenever I prayed with that sister-in-law of mine that was so against me for so many years. And God wants us to be concentrated and have our hearts on fire 100% for him. And, if you're trying to serve God with one foot in the world and one foot in the church, it doesn't work. And it's kind of like, I'm going to share a story. Me and Maria, between 5 or 10 years ago, somebody got the wonderful idea we needed smartphones. And so we went and we got 2 smartphones. I think they were iPhone 7s. And but our kids were like, oh, now you can use the GPS to go wherever you need to go. You don't need to have the map or whatever. And so we were headed to the city one day, and somehow or another, me and Maria, we both put our GPSs on when we left. And, the cities for us are an hour drive in any direction. We have 3 cities, but it's an hour drive to any one of them. And so we were perfectly fine. We didn't realize we had 2 GPSs on for the main part of the trip because it was one road, and they both were telling us to go the same direction. Well, as we got closer to the city, her GPS was put in one address. Mine was put in another address. So as we got closer to the city, we heard turn left, turn right. Well, wait a second, there's not a right, And so, and then it would say, no, turn around, do a U-turn, whatever. And so we ended up in a place that we didn't really know, and driving pretty dangerous because it was saying turn left, turn right, and I wasn't really paying attention. So I had to just stop. And, whenever we stopped, we realized we had 2 GPSs, and we turned one off, we got the address, and then we were quickly able to get to where we were going. But that's kind of like whenever you're trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You really don't get going anywhere, and you probably end up someplace where you don't want to be, and you have to sit down and say, okay, am I going to go 100% in the church or I'm going to continue in the world. And, you know, God is asking you to give 100% for the church. And, you know, as you give your life to God and give 100% for the church, you're going to end up going in a very fast direction to the destination that God has for you. And so that was a good lesson for us. And, you know, the second point in Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, all of us have a problem with our heart. You know, originally we are born in sin, and all of us have a problem with a sinful heart. You know, and we struggle with that. And we have to lay that down at the altar and ask God to give us his heart. And, you know, so it's a human condition that all of us suffer from. And people say, well, you know, if there's a good God, why is there so much wickedness in the world? Well, it's not God's fault. It's our hearts, our wickedness, the wickedness in each one of us. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." So, you know, if you find yourself having a hard heart, you know, you need to go to Christ and ask him to make you a new creation. Through salvation, first and foremost, as Beth had asked, if there's somebody here that hasn't received the Lord, that's first step in having a heart that's for God, is accepting Jesus as Lord, as Savior, giving your life over to him. But, you know, even after that, daily, to ask God to cleanse your heart. And how many of you take your blood pressure or monitor your blood pressure? You know, it's important for your health, yeah, right? I take my blood pressure. I have to take pills for it. But it's important for my physical health, for the physical health of my heart. And but how many of us neglect our spiritual heart? You know, the Bible talks about hearts over 700 times in the Bible. So it's pretty important. But so we do need to sit down, just like we take our blood pressure, monitor the health of our physical heart. We need to sit back and monitor the health of our spiritual heart also as well. And, you know, I encourage you to do that today as we're talking. But and in Ezekiel 36:26, it says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take away the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." You know, it's pretty easy, you know, for Christians to be going along, something happened, and before long you notice that you have a heart of stone. And so we need to go to God. And, you know, any number of things, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, can cause your heart to turn from God to a heart of stone. And, you know, and the Bible says that, you know, in Ephesians, God's given us the breastplate to protect ourselves from the fiery dart of the enemy. And, you know, those darts are headed towards our heart. And, you know, we just have to be careful that we don't allow the fiery darts of the enemy to enter into our heart. And whenever we do, we need to be quick to go to him and say, "Lord Jesus, please heal my heart." Third point is, your heart follows what you treasure. You know, and that's an important thing for each one of us as Christians. You know, your heart is like a compass. You know, and you can kind of observe. You know, if you love money, if you treasure money, and you're trying to store up money, your heart is gonna chase money. If you love pleasure and your heart is looking to pleasure, you're going to be chasing after pleasure. And if you treasure God, your heart is going to be looking for worship and running after God. And, you know, here in the Bible, in whenever Jesus talked to Zacchaeus, and he realized that he was wrong, he was tax collector and he was stealing, he repented and he offered to give half of his wealth to the poor, and he also said that if he wronged somebody, he would pay them back fourfold. You know, and Jesus' response to him, "Today, salvation has come to your home." And then also there's another story in Luke 12 where it talks about the owner had a big harvest, and he built bigger silo grain mills and stored all of his wealth. And whenever he was finished, he said, now I can live and be merry. And the response to him was that today your life will be demanded of you. You know, so there's a big difference between those two things. But what you treasure is where your heart will go, you know. And you can actually, there's two things that you can look at. You can look at your calendar and you can look at your checkbook. And those two things will give you an idea of where your heart is at. You know, if your heart is right with God or if your heart is more set on pleasure or things of the world. And I would encourage each one of you to ask yourself these questions. What do I value most in life? Okay? And the second one is, where is my heart being pulled? And, you know, I think the secret to that is looking at your checkbook, looking at your calendar, and seeing, you know, where your time, where your money is going. And, you know, I realized very early in my Christian walk that the more I give to God, the more my heart is pulled towards God. The more I give to my local church, the more my heart is pulled to that church because I feel like I have a sense of ownership to it. So we specifically sit down and think, where shall we invest? Because we want our heart to be put into our local church. We want our heart to be put into local ministries. So I think it's important for each one of you to sit down and think, you know, God, where is it that you want me to be investing? Where is it that you want me to be placing my treasure? But I'll guarantee you, as you start to invest, your heart's going to follow along with that. It's almost impossible to start supporting something and not have your heart go there. And the fourth thing, is the type of heart that God is looking for in each one of us as a Christian. And this is from 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is fully committed to him. And I will use the example of King David here. You know, King David wasn't a perfect man. Actually, if you read the Bible, he was a pretty bad person at a time in his life. But yet, God, at the end of his life, he said that he was a man after God's own heart. You know, so, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, how big of failures that you have in your life, have had in your life. What matters is your heart towards God. You know, and David, he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He had a heart for God to come in and create in him a clean spirit. And that should be our cry as well. You know, all of us make mistakes, all of us mess up, but yet we need to be quick to run back to God and ask him to forgive us. And you know, instead of running from God, we need to be running to God. And instead of trying to cover up our mistakes, we need to be open and honest with God, especially with God and with others, and say, you know, renew me, help me to restore my heart. And God's looking for people that will wholeheartedly serve him. And Abraham is a good example of that. Whenever Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac, he did it wholeheartedly, expecting that God was going to provide. And, you know, if you read that story, God did. At the last minute, God provided for him. And we need to be that same way. And, you know, we need to be living sacrifices. God doesn't want just a portion of us. He wants 100% of us. And he wants our good as well as our bad, you know. And whenever we go to prayer, we need to be willing to share whatever we're struggling with God and ask him to take those bad parts of our life out of our life and to replace it with something good. And, you know, I was thinking that it's easy to be a good Christian in the church, but what about in the parking lot? Yeah, it's not so easy sometimes, especially in big city churches. And, you know, we go to a church in the city, and sometimes I stand outside, and there used to be a church across from us. And sometimes, you know, the most dangerous place to be is in a church parking lot on Sunday morning just before the service starts, you know. But God wants us to be a Christian there as well, you know, not just in the church. And you know, maybe you're asking, well, how can I do this, you know, you know, there's times I'm in traffic and somebody cuts me off, and it kind of makes me irritated as well. And, you know, and I'm sure every one of you have had that experience. But so how can we do that? You know, the Holy Spirit fills us where there's surrender. We need to be quickly to surrender. And, you know, as soon as the temperature starts to rise and you start to feel that anger, you need to say, Holy Spirit, you take over. You calm this. You give me your peace. You give me your wisdom on how to handle this situation. And so the more that we yield to the Holy Spirit, the more he will fill us. And as we do that on a daily basis, maybe on an hourly basis at times, he gives us his grace. He slowly fills us up, gives us his grace. And but the deeper we surrender, the stronger he also moves in us. And, you know, I think that's a key, that it's not enough just in the morning to say a quick prayer and head out the door. We need to take the Holy Spirit with us throughout the day. And whenever we're in difficult situations, we need to be quick to pray and under our tongue saying, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom, give me grace, help me to present Christ in this situation. And, you know, and we often say instead of putting gas on the fire, we need to put water. And, you know, it's easy to throw gas on a fire and see it explode bigger. But we need to be people that put water on those fires of life. And the fifth point is the power of an undivided heart. You know, I think as you give your heart over 100% to God, you will see power arise in your life. And, you know, that's where God can use us 100%. And because it doesn't really matter about us at the point. So when Malachi 3:10, it says, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing. So, you know, whenever we're walking in wholehearted obedience to God, God is able to pour out blessings upon us. And I know that scripture is talking about finances, but I believe it also is talking about our life in general. You know, we can try God in his obedience. As we are obedient, he will throw blessings into our life. And I mean, our life is a testimony to that. You know, I went to Romania 33 years ago. I had nothing, and God blessed us as we served and as we were faithful to do what God has told us to do. He's blessed us, and he's not only blessed us, he's prospered us in a former communist country where it's rather difficult to live. And, you know, actually, we live pretty good there now, and God has blessed us. But alongside of that, many, many people have been led to the Lord through that work also as well. And another example in Acts 2. In Acts 2, whenever the disciples were in the upper room, they were all in one accord. The Holy Spirit was poured out. So I think, you know, whenever your heart is undivided and you have no questions in your heart, God, I'm giving you 100%, the Holy Spirit can come and fill you with power in your life as well. And in Acts 4:13, the rulers were looking at Peter and John, and they were wondering how these common people could be speaking with such wisdom. Well, it was because they were with Jesus. And so I think, you know, Jesus can give us supernatural wisdom, and people will see around us that something has changed us. It's not just us, but they will see Jesus through us, because the response of those people were obviously they were with Jesus. You know, and I think that's a good response that we want people to say about us as well. And as we are able to give our hearts 100% to God, God's going to fill us with power. And there's three things that's going to be produced in our lives. First thing is boldness. You know, as you give your life 100% over to God, and your heart is right with God, there's going to be a boldness that comes into your life. And I think every one of us wants to be bolder for Christ, right? And I think, you know, this week we have had a good example set before us in Charlie Kirk's life. You know, he was a very bold man, but if you look and you study out his life, he was also 100% for God. And he wasn't afraid to share the gospel. And I think, you know, all of us would like to have that in our life. You know, so, you know, if you want more boldness, you need to surrender more to God. And, you know, if God's telling you that there's something in your life that's not pleasing to him, lay it down before the cross. And as you do that, a boldness will rise in your life. Second thing is that you will have clarity. You will have greater knowledge of what God wants you to do. And, you know, especially if you're here and you're raising your children, you know. Me, it's easy to say now, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And whenever we have a question in our house, the basis for the decisions that we make are the Bible. What does the Bible say in this particular situation? And, you know, that has been a lifesaver many times for us because, you know, there's strong opinions from friends around us. There's strong opinions from the culture in which you live. And sometimes that opposes the Bible, you know, and your teenagers are going to come up to you and say, Mom and Dad, why are you teaching me this when everybody else in the school is doing this? And it's very easy to sit them down and say, look, the Bible says this. In our house, as for me and my house, we were going to serve the Lord. You are my child, you are my son, you are my daughter, and until you're 18, you're going to live according to the rules of this house. And, you know, they may not like that, they may not agree with that, and at 18, they have the choice to move out and do whatever. But you know what, I think if you're strong and you take that stand and that position, eventually God's going to bring them back, you know, as you proclaim the word of God over them, because there is a scripture that also says train up a child in the way in which they should go, and they will not stray from that. You know, they might go away, but God will eventually bring them back. And the third thing, if we have an undivided heart, we will see a greater fruitfulness in our life. And in John 15:5 says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And so, you know, if you look into your life and you don't see a lot of fruit growing, one of the questions is, God, am I doing what you want me to do in my life? Am I abiding in you? Am I truly 100% abiding in you? And, you know, I have a lot of grapevines. And so there's, you know, actually this time of the year, we trim them. We cut all the excess growth off. And, you know, otherwise next year they won't produce. And you can do that in the fall, you can do that in the spring. But if it's not done before the next season, the grapes will not produce. And it's the same with us. You know, we need to go before God and say, God, is there anything unpleasing in my life that needs to be cut off? And, you know, and God will show it to us, but we also need to be willing to allow him to remove that from our life. He's not going to come into by force in our life and remove those things. We have to lay them down at the altar and say, God, you know, remove this from my life. Take it from my life. And as we do that, then we will see fruit in our life. And, you know, the grapevine is a very good example of that. So I want to ask you, where is your heart divided? You know, I think every one of us has distractions that's pulling at us, trying to get us distracted from what God's wanting us to do. Many of us have compromises. Maybe we've compromised. We've not been able to give 100%, and we've learned to live, well, you know, God, I'll just keep this. And, you know, several years ago, we were having a worship service in our youth, and there was a strong word that came forth during that worship service for some of the youth. But it has constantly been brought back to my mind. And it's like, either you give your heart 100% or I don't have any of it. And a part of that word was that there's people in the room that has given their heart to the Lord, but they've kept a closet. And they've stuck a bunch of stuff in that closet and they shut the door. And they said, God, you can have my heart, but don't go in this closet. And God's asking you to give his closet. And you know, I seen on that evening of our youth, some of the youth, they made the decision they were going to open up and give God that closet, and their lives were radically transformed. Their lives were changed. I seen on that same evening, some of them, they decided to keep that closet closed, and they said, God, you're not going there. And it was very shortly after that they left our youth. And now I see them downtown. And, you know, my prayer is, God, there's seeds in their life, bring them back. And so, you know, you can't have your heart with a closet. Either you give your heart 100% to God, or that closet that you keep is going to pull you away from God. You know, so what areas of compromise are in your life? What areas that you've hidden in your heart that you haven't surrendered? You know, maybe pride, fear, sin. You know, maybe you love God, but there's also secret places that you've held back. And, you know, for some, you don't know how to give those things to God, or maybe you've tried and you've fallen back into those sins or those things that have held you back. But every time that God tugs on your heart, if you run and you give those things to God, eventually God's going to free you. And, you know, some, you know, God in his grace, he frees us sometimes instantly. Other times we have to work for that freedom and deliverance. But, you know, if you're here this morning and you realize there's something in my heart that is keeping me 100% from serving God or 100% from being with God, I believe God wants to touch that part of your heart this morning. And, you know, I don't think you have to share or open up to anybody. I think first and foremost, you have to recognize before God, God, I have this in my life. I want you to take it from me, and I believe that God will be faithful. And Ezekiel 36:26, he says that he will take and he will give you a new heart in the place of that heart of stone. And, you know, I've seen that many, many times in my life. You know, as in ministry in a foreign country, as an American, there's a lot of darts that fly our way. And I would love to say that I know well how to dodge them and I miss them all. But, you know, I don't. Sometimes those hearts penetrate me. And sometimes those darts really hurt. And, sometimes I find myself, okay, I'm walking in unforgiveness towards this person. This person hurt me. I have a right to have that unforgiveness in my life. But no, I don't. It's going to hinder me. You know, and until I realize that I have to lay that down at the cross and God can heal it, it's going to continue to affect my ministry. And, you know, I thank God that God loves me enough that whenever I'm in the presence during worship, that he doesn't allow me just to overlook those things. And he says, you remember that, you need to lay it down. You need to forgive. You need to overlook. And you need to love that person. And, you know, even, you know, a lot of people in this situation with Charlie Kirk, you know, you ask questions about the shooter. Or you ask questions about the person that stabbed the young Ukrainian girl. You know, we each have our own opinions. But you know what? God loves each one of them the same as he loved Charlie Kirk and he loved that young Ukrainian girl. And, you know, we have a lot of strong opinions where we're from about Russia, concerning the war in Russia, because we see a little bit more than you do. You know, but in the end, you know, God loves the Ukrainians, God loves the Russians. And, you know, in the end, it's up to him to resolve those things. It's up to us to have a heart that's for God and not allow hardness of heart or unforgiveness or hatred to grow in our heart. We need to lay it down and let the love of God grow in our heart that we can be a witness to others around us. So I want to pray. If you feel like God has been speaking to you about something as I've been sharing, I want you to stand to your feet and I will pray for you. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a good God. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you do want to heal each one of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Father, that you want to soften our hearts, Lord Jesus, and that you want to remove those hearts of stone within us, Lord Jesus, that you want to root out the unforgiveness and the hatred and the sin that's in our heart, Lord Jesus. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would just work on each one of our behalf, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would just touch those people that are standing, Lord Jesus. And Father, that you would just help them to give those things that you're speaking to them about over, Lord Jesus, and that they would have a heart 100% for you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for this. Father, I ask that you would just help each one of us to be 100% fully focused upon you, Lord Jesus. Father, that you would enable each one of us to share your love, share your gospel with those around us, and be a light, Lord Jesus, to the area of darkness that you put us into, Lord. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.